Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 324, recorded on March 5th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by HelloFresh, the leading meal delivery kit service, for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS35 when you subscribe. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I am awesome, because I'm here with you.
Yay, and Adam Christensen. Also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Sweet. All right, we're here. We're talking about Apple stuff, and I like this. You know, I get these weird. I hear the Apple is just looking to make money any way they can all the time. You know, with lightning adapters.
You mean like a corporation?
Well, I mean, in ways that are sneaky and dishonest and mean to their consumers.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This drives me batty.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see stories like this about the fact that Apple has decided that if you get a third-party phone screen replacement on your iPhone, they will not fully void your warranty. So let's say you drop your phone, screen cracks, you go to the guy who does it for cheaper. And then maybe 6 months later, your camera goes wonky and you want to bring it into the Apple Store. Previously, they would say, oh, hold on, this is a non-legit screen. We're not going to touch it. Or let's say you get that non-legit screen and you realize that it like breaks like tissue paper, and they do. Well, at least some of them do. And you want to get a real one this time. They would turn you away. So now they won't turn you away. So in the case of the camera, let's say it's something unrelated to the screen, you can take it in. If you have your warranty, you're good to go. They'll just swap out your camera, no problem. If you are out of warranty, they will quote you the flat rate repair. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it goes.
I think so.
And then if you are in a situation where you want to swap out your third-party screen for a better Apple screen, then they just charge you the standard flat screen replacement fee, which I think is around 130? Something about that.
129.
There you go.
So pretty darn close to 130.
Yeah, so this is pretty good. I like this. I know that people end up in this situation. Thank goodness I have not. And of course, I've said before, I don't recommend the third-party displays, because I think it's very hard to come across the legitimate Gorilla Glass high-quality stuff from a third party that, you know, originally came on your phone. So I've seen situations where the screen cracks very easily with these third-party displays, and it's usually a matter of, you know, $30-$40 extra to get the original display. But I'm glad to see Apple isn't being super stingy about this.
Yeah, I think that's really cool of Apple to go ahead and honor the warranty.
Yeah. Let's see here. So we're looking at some rumors for a March event. And
I don't think it's happening in March.
Okay. This comes from Maka Takara. They believe we'll be seeing a refresh to the iPhone SE with a 128 gigabyte capacity, red iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, some new bands, of course, watch bands, and debuting the new iPad Pro lineup that we've been talking about with the 7.9, the 9.7, the new 10.5-inch and the 12.9-inch. And I believe the 7.9-inch iPad that's a new thing, right? That's something that Maka Takara has just brought up. So it would be a pro version of the mini.
Yeah.
And I think they tweaked, what was it? It was 10.9 before. Now they're saying 10.5. But basically the idea is the 10.5-inch iPad would be the same footprint as the 9.7 and have the same resolution as the 12.9, which kind of, it's reminiscent of what we're expecting for the iPhone 8 with the, because we would end up with an edge-to-edge approximately display. And there's speculation that there would be no home button, that sort of thing going on here, where the only bezel would be up at the top where a FaceTime camera would be. I think it's interesting that I wonder if they're going to keep calling them Pro, right? When are they going to drop that and just say, okay, they're all just iPads. They all support the pencil. They all have the fancy color gamut thingy. You know, there's not a whole lot to differentiate these.
Yeah. I'm wondering, yeah, what's Apple going to do to differentiate the iPad and iPad Pro lines? Because it sure looks like everything is going to be iPad Pro specs. So they must have something in store. Otherwise, it's kind of weird to call every iPad an iPad Pro.
Mm. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of... I mean, they're all going to have to have sort of the pro specs, but I can see them moving that direction, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I guess they don't need to do the same thing with the iPad line that they've done with the laptop line, because you have the right. MacBook and the MacBook Pro. So
right.
I can see where people would say, well, they've got that, so they have to do it with the iPad. Well, no, not necessarily. They could just have iPad Pro, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I can see them rolling down the current 9.7 and having that be the entry level and still calling it a Pro, and then the 10.5 Pro and then the 12.9 Pro.
You know what they could do? The old
models. Or
just
call them all iPad.
Right. Yeah.
Like drop the Pro altogether, I guess, would be the other way to go, considering that it's sounding like they may not have a mini either, right?
Yeah.
Or at least that update.
It would be a mini Pro.
You know, I don't see Apple dropping the Pro name, because when you say iPad Pro, then it creates the notion that this is a professional's device.
Right.
And so what they could do then is take whatever the previous iPad model is that the new one replaces, call the old model iPad and the new one iPad Pro.
So instead of the stupid like S moniker that we've had with the iPhone, we call it Pro.
The SE thing. Yeah. Pro. Yeah. No, they've gotten themselves into a weird spot, I think, because in reality, I don't know that there is room in just the tablet market for Apple alone to have more than like three or four total models in the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just too fragmented. And so I think part of where this is coming from is it makes sense to have entry level and then a mid-level, and then a high-level, and that's it. You know, and so the naming becomes, you really need three names. It's like, okay, the 9.7 is iPad, and then these two are Pro. You'd have to either do it that way, or just call them all iPads, or just call them all Pros. But to me, what makes the most sense is since you're taking essentially what the rumors are saying, you're taking essentially what was the iPad Pro 9.7, and just making that the entry level, why would you just drop the Pro moniker then? That seems weird to me. So that's why I fall in with the rumor of just saying they're just going to be all called Pro. That's my only rational basis for it, is it just seems weird to take what was the Pro and say, just because it's the entry level model now and it's, you know, we haven't updated anything on it, it's not the Pro anymore.
Yeah, the one thing that sticks out to me, though, is the 10.5, 10.9-inch iPad, because that one's the oddball, right?
This rumored new one,
yeah,
new size.
So we've got the small, medium, and large, which we could call those all just iPad, but you know, what's the deal with the 10.5? What is that going to be? Who is that marketed toward? What, you know, what? It's just weird.
You know, if we're having a March event, why haven't we seen any leaked parts for this 10.5-inch iPad?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think there is, at least based on what we know right now, I don't think there's a 10.5-inch iPad.
Oh, I think there is.
Yeah, well,
it definitely is. I think somehow
they've done an amazing job. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I mean, reportedly because it's going to be edge-to-edge glass and then a home button and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it would be amazing. But I think because of those reasons, Michael, that's why it's going to be the Pro. It's going to be like the new Pro model. And I think what Apple has found, maybe through sales, and again, I'm just speculating here, is that 9.7 Pro size is their kind of best seller. So that's the one that they're revving up.
Right.
And they're keeping the 12.9 around in the same design and form factor and just bumping the internals for those of us who, like myself, I like the larger screen size just because mm-hmm. of my use case for it, where I'm using it more as a laptop replacement. So I don't know if I could go back to even a 10.5-inch screen. It's in a 9.7 form factor. I'm going to have to look at it to see if it's a big enough display area to warrant replacing my 12.9.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I mean, my 12.9-inch iPad Pro has become a critical part of what I do. And it is, in many instances, my laptop replacement. My iPad Air, I don't use it hardly at all now. It spends most of its time shut off. But it made me start using my iPad Mini a lot.
You know,
So my question is how much bigger is that screen going to really feel? Because I do like the idea of having a smaller device to carry around. But is going from 9.7 to 10.5, is that enough of a screen bump to kind of fill the difference? And it seems like it would be hard to between a 12.9 and a 10.5.
Yeah. One thing as far as differentiating these goes, they could have the mini and the 9.7 with like an A9X chip.
Right. That's the rumor.
And then have the 10 and 12 be the higher end ones. So you basically have the same screen size with both of the high ends. You just end up or the same resolution, I should say. And then you have a smaller or larger form factor.
Correct.
It's still kind of weird, but we'll see. All right, let's take a quick break and talk about our sponsor, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks that are just short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. And all of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. All of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make your life super simple. They offer both classic boxes and veggie boxes, which you can choose each week. There are options for 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week, and they can be designed for either 2 or 4 people. So my experience with HelloFresh, first, I notice the awesome packaging they have. Everything is organized and the recipes are in neat, well-designed booklets, which is great because I loved how much the recipes actually taught me about cooking, and I'll be using those recipes again in the future. So it's all nice and organized in those booklets. It includes nearly everything you need to cook the food. And of course they tasted great. And one of my favorite things was that there was actually more than enough to keep me satisfied. And best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding the ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So some of the stuff that they have in the classic boxes this week are the Spanish one-pan chicken with chorizo and bell peppers, which looks and sounds really good. Zucchini flatbreads with balsamic onions, olives, and walnuts. and the cranberry turkey burgers with green salad. They actually have quite a bit more, and you can choose the meals ahead of time that they send to you, which is pretty great. So if you want to try HelloFresh, check them out at HelloFresh.com, and you can get $35 off your first week of deliveries by using the code TIOSS35 when you subscribe. That's TIOSS35. Check them out at HelloFresh.com. We thank them so much for their support of the iOS show. Okay, so with that, let's move on to some iPhone 8 rumors. We have one from Ming-Chi Kuo. He believes that the iPhone 8 will include a revolutionary front camera that has some 3D sensing abilities. So in addition to the standard camera module that we would have, we would also have an infrared transmitter and receiver. And
with freaking lasers.
Sure. And
no, it's really supposed to have lasers.
It's supposed to have it's lasers?
Infrared laser technology.
Oh, okay. Freaking lasers. And it's supposed to be able to scan your face to to make cool selfies and stuff. Or
no, you're going to be able to 3D model your head and stick it on your character in your favorite games.
Right, yeah.
Right, but 3D selfies also, which means the inappropriate photos that drunk guys send to girls they have crushes on are about to get a lot more disturbing.
Wow.
Oh my God.
You get some depth.
Yeah.
It's the Mateo technology, that company they acquired a couple of years back.
Right. Is that the company? I don't remember if that's the company name, but yes, it's technology they bought.
M-E-T-I-A-O or something. Or A-I-O? I don't know.
Sure.
Mateo.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I'm still not sold on the idea of it having anything to do with authentication.
Yeah, that's right. M-E-T-A-I-O. Augmented Mateo. Reality company. And they had the technology that was used.
They're the company that did Kinect technology initially, aren't they?
No. This was a company, I believe it's the right one. It was the facial recognition stuff, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm mixing it up.
There were so many companies that were all bought in that same window.
They acquired a company basically what their technology was exactly what I just described. It was like they had a system that would use cameras on your smartphone or on a device to 3D render like models, basically, of like your face or your head, and you could put them on in-game characters. And they also developed technology, I think, that was used in some films and on video games and things like that.
Yeah, I think some of their stuff was used in a Star Wars movie for facial mapping.
Fair. So yeah, the iPhone 8 will have Star Wars tech.
No, I mean there could be a lot of really cool applications.
Yeah.
Applications for this, and including, I guess it also has the potential to do some biometric stuff. According to some of the sources, so either the facial recognition that I think we talked about last time and even possibly the retina sort of recognition or scanning. And once again, I'm hoping
iris,
that...
Iris, not retina.
Sorry, thank you, iris. We always mix that up, or I always mix that up. Yeah, and they're very different technologies. Point being is I'm still hopeful that if they use this technology for that sort of thing, that it's like an additive layer of security and not like the primary layer.
I can't imagine it would be the primary.
I think what we can really count on from Apple is that whatever they decide for the primary mode of quick authentication is that it's going to actually be convenient and actually work pretty well.
Yeah. So I'm having a hard time picturing people waving their faces in front of their iPhones, you know, having to bend over at a sales terminal to authenticate for Touch ID or for
bend over
Apple Pay.
Because people have butt faces?
No, so their eye is close to their iPhone camera.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on. Yeah. I think it's going to remain Touch ID. I like Touch ID. TrendForce says that the iPhone 8 will have 3 gigabytes of RAM and two options for storage, 64 gigs and 256 gigabytes. And I guess that's good. It's going to be an expensive phone, guys. It's probably going to cost $1,000. We'll see if T-Mobile wants to jump on some kind of deal and and offer that, because, you know, I'll jump on that if John Legere breaks me a good deal.
You know he's thinking about you.
He does. He thinks about. I actually sent him a tweet the other night. I asked him if there was going to be if they were going to offer free MLB subscription again. And the next day they announced that they were going to. So he listens to me. You're welcome, everyone. Hmm. April 4th, I think, is the day for those who care about baseball. I think it's April 4th. You have to get it through the the T-Mobile Tuesdays app. So there's a freebie. iPhone 8 is rumored to have longer battery life thanks to the stacked logic board technology. Didn't we talk about this last week? I thought we did.
I don't know.
But it's good to mention again that we're going to have better battery life in this thing because of, you know, magic things that Apple is doing with this phone.
Yeah. I'm always up for better battery life.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be...
Don't we get better battery life rumors every time?
Well, I sure hope so, honestly. But I think it's supposed to be epically better. Like being able to store the same amount of battery capacity as in the Plus phone in the standard version. Because they're taking advantage of geometry that they've... Or the fourth dimension, I can't remember.
I mix those up.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to be better. How about this from the Wall Street Journal? They say that the iPhone 8 is going to have a USB-C connector.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Jeff has the scoop, I think, in theory on this one, along with
All right,
Jason Snell, I think, had a similar but different theory.
All right, so here's my take on this. They have some correct information that is being misinterpreted. So Apple's going to leave the Lightning connector on the new iPhone. They're not putting USB-C in its place. And what they may do is include a Lightning to USB-C cable. And, you know, so then you can plug into Apple's newest computers. And if you want to plug into an older computer, now you have to get a dongle to connect to your older computer, or just use an older cable. And what Apple's going to do is take the USB-C charging technology and add it into the Lightning cable. So you can do fast charging on the new iPhones. So it'll still be Lightning, and you just get a new cable that supports faster charging.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard about this this fast USB charging stuff, but is there some kind of limitation with USB-A as far as how much current can go through that cable, whereas the USB-C isn't limited in that way?
The USB-C can take up to
45 watts.
I thought that was more than that.
I'm pretty sure it's 45.
Wow.
Okay. That's still a lot.
It's enough to do a laptop.
That's 9 amps. That's...
Well, the larger laptops, like the MacBook Pros, though, are 85 watts, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
I thought it went up to 100 watts, but I could
maybe
be wrong.
It does. I wonder where I got my number. I'm probably just mixing interesting things together in my head.
Well, at the very least, it could be 4.5 times faster. But then again, we're talking about...
Yeah, up to 100 watts.
We're talking about phones, though, and these batteries, you can only charge them so quickly, right? Lithium ion batteries. And, you know, when you're thinking about a laptop, comparing a laptop battery to a phone battery, laptop battery has much greater capacity, and so it can take on the charge more quickly, at least at the beginning of the cycle. But at some point you have to slow it down. But regardless, it sounds like a good thing. So if you have, like, you know, 10% remaining on your battery, plug it in, get, like, you know, 15 minutes later, you're at 75% kind of deal.
Right. So, Jeff,
yeah, which is pretty cool.
Here's the deal from this is Wikipedia, so consider the source, but this sounds right. All USB-C cables must support 3 amp current up to 60 watts. Cables supporting high power 5 amp current up to 100 watts must contain e-marker chips programmed to identify the cable as being 5 amp capable.
Right. Okay.
So we're talking about a higher voltage for these laptop.
So the ones that chargers. Probably come with the new MacBook Pros, I'm assuming, are the higher power.
That would make sense.
And yeah. But something for, like, your iPhone in the future is going to be the lower power one, obviously, because you don't need to pump probably more than, but maybe 29 watts, 24 watts, which would be double the 12 watts they have now to do fast charging.
Yeah, that makes sense. And they do need to include special chips to handle the charging. So what that means is that if you take a current iPhone and plug in the new charger cable into it, you won't get fast charging on your iPhone 7.
Right.
Well, you can get faster charging.
The USB N, so it'll come with a USB-C power brick instead of a USB-A power brick, right?
Right.
And you'll plug the USB-C side in.
Yeah.
There.
Now, it's important to keep in mind, we're all nerds here, and we actually plug our phones into our computers.
Right.
Most people don't realize that, like, there's any point to doing that.
Right.
Or at least they don't do it, because why would you do that? So
the only reason I know that people who are non-nerd people who aren't doing it for syncing is when they're traveling and they're not near a power outlet and their phone needs a charge.
Yeah, that's
like they're plugging it in purely to their computer to, like, vampire the battery off the computer.
Yeah.
To charge their phone back up.
Yeah, so it's in all honesty, as much of a bummer as it might be if the iPhone 8 came with a USB-C end on the cable and you had to buy a dongle or use one that you have, it's not that big of a deal to most people.
No, because everybody at this point has, like, 10 Lightning to USB-A cables. Because you got one with your iPad and your iPhone and your kid's iPhone, and you've bought 3 more because it's not convenient to not have them everywhere around the house. And like, if you don't have a USB Lightning to USB-A cable and you own any Apple product at this point, that's shocking.
Yeah, I do have, for some reason, I'm not really sure why I have so many Lightning cables laying around my desk right now. I don't know where they came from, but yeah.
Well, I got one with my Magic Trackpad, and I got one with one. I can't remember if one comes with they don't give you one with the Apple TV for the remote.
Are you kidding me? Yes, they do. They have to. How do you charge your remote?
I remember one being in the box.
Oh, you know what? You're right, Michael. They do. There is a charger cable in the box.
Of course there is.
Oh, mine's
and if
probably
I go
still
and
in
find
my
box. Yeah, mine's still there too.
See, that's the point. Is like, I don't even take those cables out of my iPhone boxes anymore because I have so many.
Oh, right.
Already,
and I got one
everywhere.
With my AirPods.
So I think Apple was looking at this and going, look, we're moving all of our new laptops to USB-C. Everybody's going to need a Lightning to USB-C cable. Everybody already has Lightning to USB-A cables. Now's the time. Now's the time when we can just switch the cable. So that's why what Jeff was saying and also Jason Snell made a whole lot of sense when this rumor came out. And as far as I know, you two, Jeff, were the only people making any sense when it came to this rumor.
Seriously? Well, okay. I'm glad that Jason and I are thinking about this stuff.
Yeah, Jason was more in line of they're doing it because the computers are going to USB-C and people are going to need to plug into that. So he wasn't talking as much about just the general powering power as you were with the fast charging and stuff like that, I think, from his piece. Gotta go back and reread it. I shouldn't probably put words in his mouth, but you know, Six Colors, if people want to check it out, he writes great stuff over there. Really good analysis.
Nice. Okay. So Apple, it appears, according to DigiTimes, is number one, planning to have fingerprint ID in the next iPhone. And they're not going to be using the old style that they have been using. So they've been using the Authentic stuff, right, for a while. They've acquired some other companies, but it seems like they are going to be actually using some new acquisition that they have, or some different one, the Privaris technology.
Yeah, that's not a new acquisition. That was about 3 years ago.
Well, not
I think.
A new acquisition. It's just a new technology from one of their acquisitions.
Yeah, and so they're going to couple up the scanning sensor technology from Privera, whatever the company's name is, with the algorithms from Authentic. And then they can embed the fingerprint sensor technology directly in the glass.
That is just darn cool.
That is pretty cool.
Do you think we're going to be able
if
to just
it works,
touch it anywhere?
And is as reliable as Touch ID. That'll be awesome.
Ugh. This iPhone 8 is really seeming cool. You know, Apple has these secret agents out there that can, like, you know, snuff out these rumors. I hope they know what they're doing and allowing us to talk about this new phone like this. Cause you know, there's a lot going on.
You know, here's the thing with that though, too. How many times have we had these kinds of buildups where there's these leaks like this, and then like 80% of it turns out to not be there.
I don't know. Tell me.
Let's not get like too crazy.
Like almost every iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times.
I don't like, think so.
It's going to do fingerprint scanning through the glass. Nope, Touch ID sensor.
Okay. This one does seem special.
I don't know, you know, because we had that rumor of this whole like bar thing, right, on the phone. So it's going to be you know, the 5.2 inch screen, and then there's going to be a touch area.
Yeah,
they were calling it
bar.
Yeah.
Well, nobody called it a touch bar. I think they called it a touch area. But to me, it sounded awfully like the touch bar on the new MacBook Pro. And that has a Touch ID sensor in it. It's just it's so blended in with the screen from a design standpoint that you really can't see it, right? It's just the upper sort of right-hand area.
It's actually its own unique piece.
Right.
So you have the touch bar and then this physical button. And yeah, and it blends in. And unless you actually go and look, you don't see where the touch bar ends and the Touch ID button begins.
So I could see it being that sensor in the middle and then two little, you know, dynamic OLED buttons on either side of that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it could be something like that. And it's still that's still the Touch ID technology. It's just in a little rectangle instead of a circle, right?
Right.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff. I mean, it still has the little does it still have the little metal contacts?
You don't see any contacts on this. It's a flat surface.
Yeah. So see, I think that's still the standard Authentic Touch ID technology. But maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. I think
you're right.
So again, it could just be that and not some new like through the glass technology.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's not going to be, but.
The one thing about this, though, according to DigiTimes, because they're using this different technology, they say that the production for the OLED or for the entire phone, I believe, they say it's not going to start until September due to this new fingerprint solution.
Yeah.
All right. So if that's the case, we'll still get our September launch event or unveiling event. And if the other rumors we're hearing hold true, we'll get an announcement about an iPhone 7S, iPhone 7S Plus, and iPhone 8. The the 7S and 7S Plus will ship like a week after the announcement or a few days after the announcement. And then the iPhone 8 will ship a few weeks later.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. Yeah, they're trying to recapture that the whole moment with the original iPhone where we had to wait 6 months and everything.
Oh, good times.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is now, like, the phones that we all have aren't in immediate need of replacement. It's not like you're swapping out your flip phone for an iPhone, you know, like you were back in the day.
Right.
And it was like night and day difference, right?
Right.
So no one's going to be suffering waiting an extra 6 months for a really awesome new iPhone.
Yeah.
Maybe emotionally they'll suffer a little bit, but
yeah, very, very slight suffering. And man.
Yeah, I think the bigger issue will be the suffering everyone else has when the iPhone 8 owners start getting theirs, and then everyone else has to deal with the smugness.
That's always been a thing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like, as far as Apple Watch, we're seeing a new rumor about the Series 3 entering production later this year, according to DigiTimes, potentially looking like we might see a launch alongside the iPhone 8 and everything else in September. So that's really, it's a very small rumor. They're going to be switching from the touch on lens technology for the display to a glass film touchscreen.
Yes. For practical purposes, for the average user, that means absolutely nothing.
Right.
So it's just a change in that touch layer media, and that's it.
Yep.
So it doesn't functionally change anything.
It really just, it's more interesting from the standpoint of it's the first Series 3 rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm having a problem with Apple releasing a new Apple Watch after about 12 months when their first gap was, what was it? Was it 18 months between the original and Series 2?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're going to do something really significant. Yeah, I think what we're hearing on this rumor to me sounds like it's just a behind the scenes technology change, and there's not even an announcement. I don't even know that they'd give it a true Series 3 update for that sort of thing, or I would hope that they wouldn't. That it would just part of their, like, hey, this is now the fall collection, watch bands, and it just sort of slips into the, you know, sort of like they quietly update processors on Macs or something like that. It feels like that kind of an update, and it deserves about that much attention.
You know, if all it really is changing the glass material, then they could just do it and not even call it an update.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense for them to really update the watch every year anyway. I think 18, even 24 months could be the cycle that makes sense for Apple Watch. I mean, unless they're going to have a bunch of new health sensor technology or something in there, it doesn't seem worthy of, like, bothering for that. Because they're not going to change the pricing, right? They're not going to, like, bring out new pricing or anything like that with this kind of an update. It's not, you know, so to the consumer, and if to the consumer there's no perceptible change, then why bother?
Yeah. I agree.
Because you're just gonna anger people who are like, no, I don't have the good screen. You know, I don't have the new screen technology, when it really doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. And my guess is that when Apple gets ready to do any sort of significant update with the sensors, we will have some knowledge of that, because they'll be going for FDA approval at that point. Kind of feeling like we're at the point now for Apple to do anything else with sensors that's going to be really meaningful for users. We are looking at getting medical approval, so FDA approval.
I mean, the other big change that, you know, we heard about, and I'm surprised it didn't happen, to be honest, and could be enough to warrant a new version, is the adding of like 3G cellular capability so that it becomes truly, you know, autonomous.
Yeah, that seems like it would be the big change for the Series 3.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, a lot of people would go for, I mean, that's like probably the number one complaint I hear from people even still. It's not a huge complaint, but when you start talking to people about Apple Watch, it's like, yeah, I love this, I love that. I love the new one that has the GPS, so I can kind of do my workouts a little bit better when I'm not tethered, but I'd really like it if I, you know, in all these various situations, especially like going to the gym and stuff like that, that all the functionality worked without my phone being on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that a lot too.
Be cool. Yeah. Okay. So with that, let's do our picks, and Adam, I'll let you go first.
All right. I'm going to do a fun little one, from the folks at Lego.
You have my attention.
Well, it's a social media app for Lego fans, mostly targeted at kids, but I would imagine adult fans of Lego also fall in this category. And it's a little app called Lego Life. And it's kind of like I look at it almost like a Instagram kind of thing, because the concept is you take pictures of your Lego creations and you can share them through the app. But the cool thing for parents with this app is that it's totally focused on the safety, privacy, and security of the kids that are using it. So, for example, when you sign up, you have to use an email to sign up, but you are not allowed to create your own screen name. You have to kind of generate one, or the app generates one for you randomly, and you can kind of pick through them and get the one that you want. And then your avatar is, you kind of build your own little minifig as your avatar. And then when you're in app and you're sharing stuff, people can, and I'm using air quotes for this, comment on your creations and your photos, but they only have an emoji keyboard. There's actually you cannot type text. So to avoid any kind of bullying or any of that sort of thing.
Tricking people into giving up their
personal information. You can follow other people, but including your friends, but you have to know their like Lego Life screen name. So you're going to have to get that from them like in real life to be able to follow them. And that's my one complaint. There is no way, unfortunately, to at least at the moment, type someone's name in and then follow them. You have to kind of find them organically. So the best way, if you want to follow your friends or something like that, that I think would work, is you'd kind of have to like, all right, I'm going to post a photo now, you know, go on there, and this is my name, find my photo. And then when you're on that person's account, you can kind of follow them. I don't know why that is in there, like why they won't let you search for a username.
It's because they're so hyper-focused on children's safety.
Right, exactly. So it's a nice, what I liked about it is it's a nice, safe environment. Your kid's not going to get bullied. They're not going to have, you know, they could have creepy people following them, but they're not going to know anything about this person beyond this weird screen name. And plus, I got the perfect screen name for my account. So if people want to somehow follow me, I guess I'd have to be posting more on there because I'm not really out. But I went to try it out. So I am Duke Flatulent Bed. That's my
Duke
username.
Flatulent Bed?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
So there you go. But it's called Lego Life. So if you have kids who are into Lego and want a safe environment where they can kind of share their Lego creations. Oh, and then the Lego company is also doing all kinds of different challenges. And they also have different groups that you can go in and follow that are surrounding the different Lego sets. So if you happen to really be into Mindstorms or Ninjago or Lego Friends or whatever it might be, you can kind of follow those groups. And then they do little quizzes and challenges and little mini games and stuff like that you can do as well. I haven't been on there too much. I was just mainly checking it out for my kids, and I thought it was a great approach and fun for, and I think it's really kind of targeted at younger kids, so I'd imagine, you know, from 5 or so up to maybe about 12. You know, but after that, your kids are probably going to be on real Instagram if you let them on there.
Real Instagram.
Maybe even younger. But I thought it was kind of neat, you know, taking a very kid-safe approach to sharing photos online and around a topic. So, Lego life.
Cool. All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
All right, I have a backup pick in case you tell me I've picked this before. My pick is Eero, the Wi-Fi mesh system.
I feel like you've talked about that.
All right. Well, maybe. Then how about if I say it's still awesome and I go with my backup pick?
Okay.
All right. So my backup pick is a game that I've been playing just the past couple days, you know, in all my spare time as I've been moving. And it's called After the End. And it's a $4 game and it's a puzzle game. So it reminds me of what's that game where it was sort of like M.C. Escher style structures.
Monument Valley.
Yeah, it reminds me of Monument Valley in a way, but with puzzles that tend to be a little bit more complex. And the objective is you have to get through each puzzle to advance to the next level. And the storyline that goes with it is you're trying to get to your mystical dad to save him. But the graphics are fun. The music score that goes with it and sounds are really pretty cool. One thing, when you first start playing the game, it tells you that you should put in headphones. Take that advice, because the audio effects are a lot cooler when you're getting them in the stereo from having your earbuds in.
Nice.
So it's a fun little game, and it's one of those games where if you have like 20 minutes and want to mess around with a level or two and then go off and do something else, you can do that. But if you just want to sit there and like bang your way through a bunch of levels, okay, whatever. It's all good. So it's good for longer play and short play both.
Cool. So it's called After the End.
Forsaken Destiny.
Yeah. $3.99.
Yes. $3.99.
Awesome. All right. So my pick is an app called Into Live. All one word. And it basically takes any video that you throw at it and turns it into a live photo. Now, why would you want to do that, you ask? Well, because you can put live photos as your lock screen background. And that's what Correct. I wanted to do. Because
that's really cool.
I thought it was super cool that you know, you could do that with your, you know, you've got the little the smoke effects and the like Betafish and stuff that Apple gives you with iOS, but I wanted to have a rocket ship actually go off on my phone. Because I've had a rocket ship as my background for a while, but I wanted to be able to press it and have it launch. So now I do. And it's all thanks to Into Live. It's free. You can do some fun things like assign the keyframe and do a few other things if you give them.
Well,
some
yeah, you want to assign the keyframe because that's going to be what the static image is when you unlock begin to unlock your phone, right?
Right, but in my case, it worked out fine that I didn't need to. The one that it came up with was fine.
Now the icon for this, it's a little camera inside a circle and then dots all the way around that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I was looking at the right one.
Yeah. Yep, and I mean, the UI works pretty well. You just grab a video, assign it as a wallpaper, boom, done.
What do you get with the in-app purchases?
I'm not super sure. I think ads probably go away. And pro features, let's see. Remove ads. You can get GIF video from PC, I guess, so you don't have to airdrop stuff. You can do 20 seconds of live photos instead of 5, so it's limited to 5 seconds. Live photos
aren't live photos limited to a certain length?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I know they're limited because they're just however long Apple makes them. I don't know if there's any other like technical limitation or if it's just artificial limitation that Apple made.
Yeah, I don't know, but this thing handles it very well.
Or maybe I'm wrong. And can you have a 20? It didn't seem like you could have a 20-second long live photo, but maybe you can.
I think you probably can.
20 seconds is a long time.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe you got something really awesome you want to put as your wallpaper.
No. But I mean, Apple's, like, if I just take a live photo on my phone, I think it's about maybe a second or 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah, I know.
It's anywhere close to 20 seconds.
I totally understand that.
So I'm wondering, is the technology, is it really capable of doing a 20-second live photo if you had an app like this that would generate one? Because that's cool.
Apparently it is. So yeah, check it out. Into Live, it's free, and then they've got in-app purchases for fancier things. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Tell a friend. Feedback at theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send any feedback you have for us. We always appreciate that. And check out our sponsor, HelloFresh, at HelloFresh.com and use the code TIOSS35 for $35 off your first week of deliveries. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at BackbeatMedia.com. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, TMO Daily Observations podcast every week, and at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff, and thanks for being here, Adam, as well.
Hey, it's always awesome.
Yeah, and I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. With that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck.